Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Here we are asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I become a reflection of God's love? How can I become light in this darkness? How can I become a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom? That is what this show is all about. I'm so glad you could join us today. We are hearing from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as He went and making His way to Jerusalem. Someone asked Him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'Well, you ate and drank in our company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you're from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at the table of the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. There's a whole lot here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So before we get started today, fair warning, I got to tell you, I'm feeling just a little bit uncomfortable. We have been doing Daily Living for about 14 years, and I have to say, in all that time, I do not recall ever being as convicted and uncomfortable with the subject matter that I am preparing for you today in your lesson. I'm serious. I mean, calling the kids is going to be good, because today we are going to be talking about truth. And the nature of truth is sometimes it makes you a bit uncomfortable. Such is the case today. Jesus is passing through towns and villages, and He's teaching as He is making His way to Jerusalem. He has turned His face towards Jerusalem. He's on a mission. Now, it's a mission that we are blessed with 2,000 years of hindsight to kind of understand. So we know what awaits Him. But I can assure you that nobody in this crowd today, except, of course, Jesus Himself, knew what awaited Him in Jerusalem. So out of this backdrop comes a question. Someone asked Him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" And He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough." Strive to enter the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. Okay, so let's begin by considering the question, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" In other words, how many are going to heaven? Now, we don't know exactly who asked this question, but I must say it's a good question. Certainly one that I have entertained in the past. Will heaven be full of a bunch of people, or will there just be a few? And the other big issue is, what about all the other religions in the world? Do they go to heaven? Are there good people throughout history that are denied heaven because they weren't part of the right religion? Or what about all the people that have been deceived by bad preaching, bad theology? Or what about all the people that don't seem to care? What happens to them? Lord, will only a few people be saved? I love that question. And I love the answer, because he really doesn't answer it at all. But rather, Jesus reframes the question. When he says, strive to enter the narrow gate, what he's saying is, hey, buddy, rather than concerning yourself with how few or how many are going to go to heaven, why don't you worry about you? And I get that, but it is a good question. I mean, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is what he said. So what about everybody else? I remember years ago, I was a kid. I was talking to this preacher about this very issue. And I remember saying, is that even fair? I mean, what about all the people that have never heard about Jesus? What about the Aboriginal tribes living deep in the jungles in Africa? What about them? And he looked at me, and I'll never forget what he said, because he looked at me and he said, Chapin, do you think that God is fair? And I thought, well, yeah, I do. Do you think he's just? To which I said, well, absolutely, yeah, God is just. Then what are you worrying about? If God needed you to know what he's going to do with the Aboriginal tribes in Africa, I'm sure he would have let you know. But then this is what he said, because I thought this really stuck with me. It was really cool. Because what he said pretty much is exactly what Jesus is saying here. He said, why are you even asking that question? Why don't you try to concentrate on what Jesus is trying to teach you? That's a very good answer. So when the guy asks, will only a few be saved? The better question is, am I going to be saved? So let's talk about this. Jesus says, strive to enter the narrow gate. What does that really mean? Well, let's begin with what it doesn't mean. It doesn't simply mean, well, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and like, boom, I'm saved. I mean, which is what many of us have been taught. How often we have heard the preacher on the radio or TV say, you put your hand on the radio or the TV and pray this simple prayer with me. Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry for my sins. And boom, that's it. I'm saved. But how does that square up with striving through the narrow gate? And don't get me wrong, I am not against this prayer, okay? It's a good prayer to make. It's a prayer of committal. But that prayer is only going to get you to the gate, and when you're at the gate, you're going to find there's a little work that needs to be done. That is the striving through the narrow gate. Often you'll see on television stadiums of people lining up to make the altar call. Which is a good thing. I mean, how could it not be? But are they saved? What happens after they leave? In the 19th century, there was a man named Charles Finney, a successful lawyer turned preacher. And he came up with this way of manipulating people to accept Jesus. It was known as the anxious bench. And through the years, there's been many forms of this sense. I've seen it myself. I'm sure many of you have experienced this. You're in a crowd of people, and the preacher asks everybody to shut their eyes. And if anyone wants to accept Jesus, they raise their hand. And then they'll have other Christians, you know, elders or deacons, church members, start and walk them down the aisle up front and lead them to the anxious bench, where they accept Jesus with tears in their eyes. Their hearts have been pricked. They've heard the good news. But is that it? Is that striving? Where is the narrow gate? Why will many attempt to enter but not be strong enough? Why is it so difficult? Once again, understand, I am not being critical of the altar call. Calling people to salvation is crucial. It's a beautiful thing. It's the Great Commission. We all need to do this. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." That's an altar call, being called by God. And that's also what baptism is. It's being called by God. Paul says, "I beg of you to live a life worthy of your calling." So, calling someone to the door is crucial. If you're truly a disciple of Christ, you are called to spread the good news, to strive, to fight. Why? Because the gate is narrow. What does that mean? It means it requires spiritual exertion. Now, how does that line up with modern-day Christianity? I'll tell you, not well. Modern-day Christianity, which is this sort of cafeteria Christianity where people take what they want and leave the rest, or worse yet, just create their own theology. And basically what comes out of it is this easy believism. You know, just say this simple prayer, believe it, and you're in, as you practice a shallow repentance. And a shallow repentance is when the habitual sin continues unabated, like you never repented at all. But real repentance requires change. And change is very hard. People do not like change. I'm a people, I know, because I don't like it. Welcome to striving, my friend. There is nothing easy about being a Christian in our world today. It requires surrender. We are in a constant battle between flesh and spirit. Fighting that battle is the striving. And the striving can be exhausting. Way harder than saying a little prayer. Lord, will only a few people be saved? Jesus reframes that question to a better question. Will I be saved? And if so, saved from what? The Greek word that is used here for saved is sozo. It's a word that appears hundreds of times throughout the scriptures and often in very different ways. It appears in the 8th chapter of Luke as it describes a man saved from demonic possession. It appears in the 5th chapter of Mark as it describes a man saved from disease. We hear it from the lips of the angel Gabriel, and you will give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. So here's the question, am I going to be saved? And if so, from what? This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. We're going to answer that question here as we continue to consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were asking the question, will I be saved? And if so, from what? And the short answer to that question is judgment. And that is what I need to be saved from. And interestingly, we are saved from judgment from the judge himself. But only he can save us. We cannot save ourselves any more than a broken computer can fix itself or a lost coin find itself. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. And he will say, I do not know where you are from. And you will say, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. And he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evil doers. Wow. So here's the question. Who is he talking to? Because he's not talking to the atheist here. He's not talking to those who have rejected the message. No, not at all. Look at what they say. We ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets. These are church people. These are pew sitters. Yet he says, I don't believe we've ever met. Because, my friends, there is a very big difference between knowing all about Jesus and actually meeting him. You know, they did a poll not too long ago. 80% of this country identifies itself as Christian. But when they pressed the issue and asked if they had a biblical worldview, only 9% said yes. Which tells me that while we very much like the idea of Jesus, we're not all that interested in what he said, which is why prosperity Christianity fills stadiums. The idea that Jesus wants you to be rich and he's going to fulfill all your dreams and desires and give you better self-esteem, how does that square up with striving to enter through the narrow gate? Or how does that square off with deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me? Prosperity Christianity is a theology that is diametrically opposed to denial, which is what Jesus is telling us when he says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. But we don't want to hear that. We want a prosperity Messiah, where all that is required is a heartfelt prayer, along with a really good offering, because if I give, I get, as we reduce him to a transactional God. Are only a few people going to be saved? What did he say? Well, he didn't say, well, you need to pray a prayer of committal. Didn't say that. He didn't say, you need to baptize your babies. He didn't say that. He didn't say, go to the altar call. Didn't say that. He said, strive. Which, as I said, requires spiritual exertion. Jesus is telling us that we need to strive. The Greek word here is agonizomai, which is where we get the word agony or agonize. It's combat. It's fighting. It's the word John used when he wrote, when Jesus was standing in front of Pilate, what did he say? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would be fighting to keep me from the Jews. So this is serious. Strive means to fight. So the question is, okay, fight who? Well, if you consider the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I fight my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is Paul. Disqualified? Who's Paul fighting? Himself. That's who he's fighting. So to strive to enter through the narrow gate requires that we fight our fallen nature. Like I said, we are in a battle between flesh and spirit. And when we fight ourselves, we're actually fighting Christ. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose their very soul? And this is why passive Christianity is so dangerous. We need to strive to enter the narrow gate. We need to fight. And who are we fighting? Well, in an odd way, we're fighting the spirit of truth. But here's the deal with this fight. If we win, we lose. But if we lose, we win. And the idea that's floating out there that somehow salvation is a free gift that requires nothing more than a simple prayer is flawed theology. For while it is true that it is by grace and grace alone that we are saved, grace is not exercised at the expense of holiness. Grace never compromises with sin. And yes, it is true that salvation is a free gift, but it requires an empty hand to receive it and will not be extended to a hand that is gripped in the sins of this world. And the man who believes that Christ will save anyone with a simple prayer, who at the same time despises his authority and refuses his yoke, is spiritually blind. And if a preacher tells you differently, tells you all you need to do is say that simple prayer, and you can keep your idols, and you can practice shallow repentance, he is propagating an easy believism, and that, my friends, is false Christianity. So, what's true Christianity? Well, number one, the door is open. But you have to strive, meaning you have to fight to get through it. And I'm not telling you this. Jesus is telling you this. Like I said, it's uncomfortable. Number two, that door is going to close. And when it does, there is no passkey. Remember the wise and foolish virgins. Dressed for a wedding. Some had oil. Some didn't. They were locked out. Jesus continues his warning today, and there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and recline at the table of the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first. And some are first, who will be last. What does that really mean? The last will be first. Well, to me, what it means is, you know that guy in the back? You know, the one that's been boxing his will and nature into submission? As he listens to his trainer, which, by the way, is Holy Spirit, teach him how to box. As he submits to the truth, a truth he learned from Jesus, regardless of what that guy's life might have looked like in the past, regardless how many times he might have gone to church, that guy, he's going to be first. Meanwhile, the pew sitter that's been checking all the boxes throughout the years, maybe occasionally throwing a jab here or there, but without a whole lot of concern or conviction, they're going to be holding the door for a long time and will enter last. if they enter at all. Yes, my friends, we are in a battle. It rages between your flesh and spirit. Passive cafeteria Christianity is very dangerous. Jesus, who is the greatest evangelist that ever lived, says we need to fight every day. And how do we fight? We repent, meaning we turn away from our habitual sin. And when it happens again, we repent again. And we turn away again. As we beg the Holy Spirit, our trainer, to remove the flavor of sin. If you have habitual sin in your life, square off and fight it. Strive to get through the narrow gate. And if you're looking for motivation, you know, something you can stick on your refrigerator, try the 9th Psalm, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear the judge who loves you so much that he has come to save you from yourself. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Remember, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.